At this time, we are going to continue our series that we've been looking at. This is installment number 4 on the topic of grace. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I need all the grace I can get operating in my life. I found out, have you ever had the desire to do something for the Lord, but in the back of your mind, you just felt like you lacked the ability? You know, I think we all probably struggle with that from time to time. You know, I feel that God has devised a plan for His children so that they can lead a productive life in the kingdom of God. He didn't just leave us down here all alone, but He actually gave us everything that we need to be able to accomplish that for which He's called us to do. Or maybe you're going through a hard time and you don't feel like you can take another step, let alone last till the end of the day. But God's made provision for that also, because He can give us supernatural strength. And the thing about that supernatural strength, it's only available to those who believe. So whether we're in over our head or just plain out of our head, amen, God has made a way. So we're going to look at the topic today of enabling grace. Enabling grace. The scripture we're going to look at is 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to verse 9. And this is the Apostle Paul talking here. He said, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord 3 times that it might leave me. And He has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Let's pray. Father God, we honor You today. We thank You, Lord, so much for all the great and mighty gifts that You've given to us. We thank You for Your grace that abounds, that grows in each of our lives. Lord, right now I yield to the gift You've given me. I use it for Your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. We bind you, Satan, from trying to steal the word out of our lives in any way, shape, or form. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to fall back a moment and kind of recap a few of the things that we've discussed over the last going on a month here. Remember, the first week we looked at saving grace. And that's grace that is imparted to us, that by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves. You can't save yourself. You know, to me it's kind of like you're out in the ocean and you think you can save yourself, but you can't. You know, you need somebody to save you. I know I would. As I always said, the Greys were never known for their swimming. So mercy is when we don't get what we deserve. But grace is when we get what we don't deserve. We don't deserve, but God chose to give it to us anyway. Remember, we don't get good to get God, we get God to get good. And that's the way it has to work. A lot of people in religion get it turned around. They think they have to clean up their own act, but we can never clean it up, because if we could, then Jesus would not have had to come. Remember, grace is unmerited and inexhaustible. We don't deserve it, and it never runs out. Remember, there's free refills. You know, if you ever need grace in your life, God always has more grace than we could ever imagine. You'll always get it imparted to your account and being able to tap into it. Week 2, we looked at justifying grace, and that was a little more of a legal term. The word justified means just as if we never sinned. And it's looking at the legal side of a redemption. Talking about what God did. It's a contract. It's something that's, you know, etched in stone, shall we say. And we looked at that from the perspective, if you owed like $200,000 to the IRS and you're making $12 an hour, you probably have no hope of ever paying off that debt. It's the same with the sin in our life. We have no hope of ever making it right with God. But yet God justified us. All of a sudden, bam, we've been justified. Well, then it's like if the IRS had sent you that letter saying you owe $200,000, and then the next week they send you another letter says the balance is zero. And you call up and say, I'd like to thank the person that paid off my debt. And they say, what debt? Our records show you never had a debt. And that's what justification is. It doesn't just cover it, but it wipes it out totally like it's never been there. And see, the reason why we need to know this, because that will help us in our approach to God. Most people are scared or feel intimidated or inadequate to go to God. But if we understand the great lengths that God went to fix our broken relationship, it will change the way you approach Him and your way that you operate in the area of Christianity. Week three, which was last week, we looked at teaching grace. Grace is not an excuse to sin, but an opportunity to overcome. See, when a lot of people say they're under grace when they're out there messing around doing stuff they shouldn't be doing, and they say, what are you doing that for? I'm under grace. No, you're under mercy. It's the mercy of God that you don't get what you deserve. See, grace is the power to overcome. To me, that's what grace is. Grace is not an excuse, but it's actually the strength that God gives us to be able to break free of some of those things. So grace is actually teaching us to be more like Christ. And that's what it's wanting to do. Our goal is to be a Christian. The word Christian means Christ-like. And then also what grace does, it instructs us through the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of grace. Okay, that catches us up somewhat to where we're at today as we look at grace, the enabler. Now, when we get into this area of understanding what grace is, you should get a little bit excited because it'll take all the excuse factors out of your life where you say you can't, because now you're going to find out today, yes, I can. Because it's not you, it's He that's in you. Now, Paul, a little bit of background about him. I mean, I have a lot of heroes in the Bible. He's one of them. Paul was a get-her-done apostle, right? He just flat went after it. Now, it's been said Paul is the apostle of grace. He understood what grace was really all about. And we're going to go into that a little bit. Peter was the apostle of faith and John was the apostle of love. God gives different people different revelations of depth so they can share with the body of Christ. Now, this was Paul's, the topic of grace. And he learned it the hard way. Most of us want to get it the easy way, but Paul had the experience, and I want us to see today that it's our job or our responsibility to be able to experience God's grace. Because a lot of times the reason why we're not getting to where we need to be is because we're not getting out of the boat. We got to get out of the boat. Peter got out of the boat, and sometimes we got to get out of the boat. So the word enable, it means give the power, means or ability to do something. That's all it is. Pretty simple, isn't it? We could probably go home right now. Amen. You got all you need to know. But you got to be able to tap into that so that you can learn how to flow with God. See, there's help for us because the helper lives inside of us. That's what we have to remember. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. The Bible talks about Him being the Parakletos, or the advocate, or the helper. So He's helping us, and He's also the Spirit of grace. So as we're out living in this world, God just didn't leave us here all alone. I never would have thought the day that I darkened that church doorstep many years ago that I would ever be preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Never had a clue. And I'll be honest, by me, by my own talents, by the things that I know, that ain't possible. But once I started to experience God's grace, there was a sequential order in my life. Nobody starts out, pastoring a church. I mean, it's to the sheep's benefit. It works that way, right? Because a lot of us would kill everybody off. But we need to learn to be seasoned with grace to be able to experience and to be able to encourage people to walk in that. Now, have you ever heard the word enabling? Now, a lot of you maybe had some bad connotations, because if you're into the psychological world, or if you're dealing with people with addictions or problems, they'll actually say, well, you're enabling that person. Have you ever heard that or been around that? I mean, that is a common statement. You know, somebody that's maybe have some weaknesses in their life, and that you're in their life, and then you're not forcing them to maybe deal with some of that stuff, and then you're called an enabler. And that's a negative thing. You know, but we're not looking at it at that way today. And, you know, what the problem with that is, it's tied usually with bad lifestyle choices, and those do happen. And it's because of weakness, it causes the person to fall, or as a minimum, just fall short of really what they could be doing. And so what it does is when we enable them, we make excuses for their weaknesses. Isn't that true? You know, and I've, in the 20 years of pastoring, you know, I have dealt with this issue time and time again, you know, in different people where, you know, maybe a family member or somebody, you know, was not willing to maybe show a little bit of tough love. Now, we need love, right? You know, I'm not wanting to, you know, make it sound like you just get out the paddle and start spanking. You know, you kids are getting nervous, some of you. They're all gone, ain't they, most of them? But, you know, it's about, you know, it's different. Now, when God enables us, it's different. Enables us, it's different. Now, we have to understand, we're weak. You know, you have to understand that. You can't do it on your own. And a lot of times, we haven't come to that point in our walk with Christ that we've actually come to the point where I'm willing to say that I'm weak. Paul did. And I don't think any of us are any better than Paul. Huh. That boy was a get-her-done apostle, wasn't he? Started a lot of churches, took a beating, and kept on going, didn't he? Beaten with rods. Floated around in the ocean several days. Got thrown overboard, or the ship went down, or whatever. A lot of problems. But he kept coming. He just kept going. Because he knew that it wasn't his strength. See, in his strength, he held the coats of those who killed Stephen. That was his idea of how to serve God. I'll just hold your coat while you go kill that person. But when God got a hold of his life and started to reveal to him about the anointing and the grace of God and the power of God working in him, you know, even though he was a very trained person in the things of the law, yet he had to be retrained in the things of the Spirit and to be able to understand what it was that God wanted to do through him. Before God does something through you, God will do something in you. And when he does something in you, then you're a candidate for him to do something through you. But the problem is, many times, we don't want to come to the place where we finally say that we need help. Now, as I always say, grace is for a reason and not an excuse. And we're going to look at that, of why that works that way. A lot of people use it as an excuse of why they can't. To me, grace tells me why I can. Because what it is I'm getting into contact with the power of God and understanding that it's God working through me instead of me trying to do it all on my own. Because what happens in our life is because, you know, we get into our ability versus God's ability. Now, the Apostle Paul, he learned the trick, and he learned how to boast in his weaknesses. Now, he didn't probably go around just beating him up. Now, what bothers me, like if somebody's going to get up and maybe talk or do something for God, and they get up there and they start running themselves down for about 20 minutes before they even get into what they're doing. I mean, they've lost me after 5 minutes of saying you're no good. Well, if you're no good, what are you doing here? You know, so we don't need to do that. We don't need to run ourselves down, right? You know, I mean, that's false humility. So what we need to do is in our heart and understand that I know it's not me, but I know it's he that's in me. And see, once you get that revelation that it's not me, but it's he that's in me, then you're going to start to step out. Oh, did I say step out? Oh, I forgot that part. See, you can't just sit there. You got to step out. You know, I know in your heart, I know there's many people here that you know that God wants to use you. You know that you know that you know. But yet, you still sit there. Right? You thinking God's going to come down here and jerk you up out of your seat and make you go change a diaper? Come on now. No. You feel something on the inside that you want, know God's going to use you, then you step out and you start to do it. You know, a lot of people don't understand why my wife and I can put up with all the kids that we do in the church. You know, they flat irritate some people. I know that. I mean, some people just get really stressed out. And you can tell it on their face. And they're just stressed. And I'll be sitting there with a grin on my face. Why? Am I oblivious? No, I hear them. They irritate me too a little bit. But God has given us a grace. It's a grace inside of us that we know that we can, it's His strength that we can be able to tolerate and put up with some of their rebellion and some of their, the way they act, because we know that in the end that we were like that too, and that God can change them the same way that He changed us, but they just need opportunity. And see, that's how it works. We need to give people opportunity to change. And it only happens when we're willing to come into their lives and be able to share the love of Jesus Christ. I was so scared to talk in front of people when I first got saved. And as I've always said, I started out teaching three-year-olds. I felt confident I knew more than they did. Amen? So God locked me in a room. I mean, He didn't lock me, but we did have to shut the door because they would escape. With about 20 to 33-year-olds from time to time. And, you know, I was 24 years old. Not really used to child rearing, if you know what I'm saying. Never had any experience with it. But yet, God gave me a grace to be able to minister to those little people. And they are people. And that when I would give my heart to God and I chose to serve those little people, then through a process of sequential training, you know, God would move me around in different ministries into the church so that I would grow in confidence and grow in His grace and start to learn about the ability that He'd put inside of me and the strength that He gave me to be able to use that ability step by step, motion by motion. Learning. Oh, was it easy all the time? No. But I am a learner. I want to learn. That's my attitude. I don't know everything. I want to know everything. Will I know everything? No. But I do know this. I will know more than I know now if I keep pursuing God. And keep moving off into the area of grace and starting to learn what it is that He wants me to do. We get our ability versus God's ability. And what it is a lot of us, and I had this in the beginning before I really got radically saved, is that's me against the world mentality. You know, nobody's going to give me nothing unless I go get it for myself. You know, I just got to earn it and that's just the way it is. And that mentality, it stunted my growth for a little bit until I really started to understand how the things of God started to work in my life. And that's when I did step out and start to learn. And partially what it is, we've been learning a little bit about this in the Freedom class, is that it's about control issues. Everybody has control issues. Some people have them more than others. And your ability to be able to relinquish control to God. See, Paul was kind of frustrated. He prayed 3 times and God didn't do it the way he wanted. Everybody had that problem before. Amen? So what Paul did, he relinquished control to God. And then God says, "My grace is sufficient for you." So God may not deliver you out, but God will deliver you through. And there's a difference. You know, some people, if God don't do it their way, they get pity. They get pity in themselves. Oh, poor me. God don't love me. God didn't do it the way that I said He ought to do it. So God must not love me. Oh, I don't have no faith. You know, boo-hoo, right? God, for the most part, very seldom does it the way that I tell Him. I'll be honest with you. That's just the way it is. Do I get mad? I don't want to say mad, but I do say bummer. You know, why can't we do it this way, God? It's so much easier. I have it all figured out, you know. But finally, once I decide to yield to His plan in the long run, it's always better. So we need to lose control. Now, I know we all have lost control a time or two, right? Anybody that's getting married or had kids? Amen? We lose control. Boom, just blow up. But we need to lose control in a good way. You know, some of my old friends, after they found out I got saved and had been around me, you know, they say that I'm losing it. You know, crazy. What I tell them is I lost it, I'm not looking for it, and even if I find it, I don't want it back. Amen? We need to get to that place. I don't want it back. You know, I tried to run my life. I darn near killed myself 4 or 5 times. Guaranteed. Should have been dead. Messed it all up. But I tell you what, once I gave my life to God, I do know this for a fact, I will not leave this earth until my job is done. I have full confidence and faith in my Father that I will finish the course that has been set before me, because I know what God's grace can do. And there's no devil, nobody can stop me, because I know what God's grace is. I know about God's power. And I go to bed every night knowing I will wake up, because I know I'm not done yet. And I hope you get that revelation of the power of God working in your life. Because what we have to get to the place is that we understand the difference between talents and grace. There's a lot of people have, you know, just like, you know, in the song industry, there's some people that have beautiful voices, but they don't have a lick of anointing, do they? You hear them sing, and oh, it sounds real pretty, but you do not feel the presence of God at all. Then somebody comes along who maybe has not got the talent they have. All of a sudden, you hear them sing, and the presence of God just falls. Bam. See, that's God's grace. They have a grace on their life to be able to bring the presence of God. They may not be the prettiest to listen to, but I'll tell you what, as you know, we get close to this holiday season, you know, when you were little, you wanted presents, right? But as you get to know God, you want presence, God's presence, operating in our lives and the lives of our family. Now, power is perfected in weakness, and this is a little trick that we have to kind of get to in our life. Not till we get to the end of us do we really experience the beginning of God's power working in our life. I do know this. There's a lot of people and a lot of us, we have some abilities. We have some talents, and we can fake it. Right? I'm just honest. There's some people that are very good speakers, and they can fake it. They can entertain people. There's some people that can sing and fake it and make it sound good. But we need to get to the place where we understand that we have to get to the end of us and really get over into that area where we understand what it means to tap in to the grace of God, and then start to see that grace starting to operate and start to manifest in our life. And when we see that, we're going to experience that, and we're going to do things we never thought we could have ever done. And then you know it's God. And that's comforting. You know why I know there's God? Because I know what God can do. And I know what God has done. But it comes to the place in our life where we have to step out and we have to experience that. We have to take a chance. I took a chance back when I taught those 3-year-olds. I took a chance. I remember the lady, I was walking through the foyer at Happy Church, and the lady that was head of the children's ministry, have you ever thought about teaching kids? I mean, she's like us, she's desperate for teachers. You know, every church is desperate for people that want to work with kids, you know. Have you ever thought about it? To be honest, no. Never thought about that. Wasn't even on my radar. I'd only been saved a year or two. Didn't know hardly anything. Never would have prayed in public. But I looked at that, well, that might be an opportunity. You know, I want to serve God. So I thought about it. Rolled the dice, baby. You know what I mean? Went to a little bit of training. Turned me loose. You know what amazed my wife? We weren't married then. Weren't even dating, to my knowledge. Nope, we weren't. That I would talk to those kids like they were adults, and they would pay attention and they would listen. I didn't know I was supposed to talk baby talk to them. Huh? I would talk to them like I expected to understand, and they did. It was grace. It was grace. I never would have experienced that if I would have said, nah, that's not my bag, man. I'm called to adult ministry. I'm going to be on the pulpit, up on the stage someday. I got time for that. Right? But see, I knew enough that I had to start somewhere. I had to start somewhere. And I encourage you to start somewhere. Don't wait for something big when you can start out doing something where you're at right now. Now, we try to get the credit when many times it's supposed to be God that gets the glory. And we need to relinquish that ego out of our life, as the Apostle Paul did. Now, he had started a lot of churches. I'll tell you what, he had a reputation. He had a reputation of doing some things for God. But he always humbled himself. He always put others first. And we need to remember that just because you're going to step out for God, that Satan's not going to try to stop you. Right? As long as Satan can keep you setting, as soon as you get to walking, he's going to try to trip you. Right? Just get back up. Just get back up. Just keep going for God. Keep walking for him. Now, last part of this is the idea of how you really get it. Is grace. You only really get grace is when you need it. And that's a fact. Grace is not something you can put in a bottle or you know, put it in your wallet or your purse and take it out later. No. You only get grace right at the time you need it. So with me, understanding things the way that I do, I must put myself in a position of need if I want to experience it. Now, a lot of us choose, you know, different choices in our life. And I know that a lot of times, you know, some things happen in our life where we're under attack, right? Everybody gets under attack. You know, maybe, you know, a loss of a job, loss of a loved one, you know, whatever the case may be, relationships get kind of friction or something like this, and whatever the case may be. And that's hard, and you don't feel you can go on. You know, that's a position, you know, that sometimes we get into, and that's when we need it. Because, you know, grace, what I found out, we sing that song, Amazing Grace. But grace is amazing once you experience it. Now, as I mentioned, we only receive God's strength when we need God's strength. So, I'll be honest, I learned all this in Bible school. This is stuff, and they made us go out and do things in Bible school. I was already involved with doing things. But primarily, we had to be involved in different ministries and training so we could learn different things. But the fact of the matter is the fact that you will never experience God's grace until you're in a position that you really need to receive God's grace. Now, what happens is, what I feel, is we have to test our weakness barrier. Everybody has a weakness barrier. Long as you have, like, let's say you guys have a checking account. And you're good as long as you have $10,000 in your account. Someone say, yeah, I'd like to have that problem, right? But you get the $9,999 and you're freaking. Ha! I'm going to run out. That's your weakness barrier right there. That 9,999.99, you know, that's your weakness barrier. That's as far as you can go, and it can be in other things, and you know, maybe at work or dealing with kids or dealing with people. You know, we all have that barrier. So what's happened is that if we want to experience God's grace, we have to get to the place where we go past that barrier. For me, it was stepping out and doing ministry, and you know, and I know that a lot of you have calls on your life to do some things, and to be honest, some are afraid to push that barrier. They don't want to get to that level. You know, you have $10,000 in your account, and God is calling you to sow into something and give somebody $100. You say, can't do it. Why not? That'll drop me below my limit. Huh? That's your barrier. You need to break that barrier. Whatever it is in your life, you need to break that barrier. and get out there where God's at. And so don't be afraid to push to that level. And then don't be afraid of failure. You may not be the best, but you are the best at that moment. Amen? You know, like the old saying, well, everybody, you know, there's about 10 people standing here. Would anybody who'd like to volunteer step forward? Everybody, 9 other people step back, right? And you're right there. You know, you are that person. At that moment, you are that person. Don't be afraid to fail. Be afraid not to ever try. That's what should scare you. Don't ever let failure hold you back. But be afraid that you're never going to step out. Because what happens is that, you know, we got to get past what other people think and get to the place where his strength kicks in. 1 Corinthians 15:10, this is Paul speaking here. He says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God in me. You ought to write that scripture down. You ought to meditate on that scripture, because that there is how you're going to get enabled. That there is how you're going to tap into God's power. Paul was talking about all the other apostles and how much more Paul labored. He just kept going. He kept pushing. He kept wanting to test that limit, that weakness barrier, where he got out there where he knew that he needed God. Because he says, God's grace is toward me. And what you have to understand is God's grace is always coming towards you. It's always coming towards you. Always coming towards you. But not until you're in a position of need will you really tap into that grace and be able to experience that and find out just how good God is in your life. So it talks about laboring in grace. Now, this isn't really book learning. It's learn by doing. Now, faith comes by hearing. We do that, but comes a time when we have to be a doer. So you need to experience it. We're going to have a sign-up sheet in a minute here about signing up for kids ministry. That's what this is all about. No, it's not. I'm messing with you. I'm just messing with you. But you need to want to step out. And Paul put himself out there because only if you are, it's really what you experience is what you remember the best, because it's part of your life. And that's really what Christianity is all about. And once you get to that place where that I know that I can't, but I know that he can in me, that's when you're a candidate for success and you're going to walk into it. Now, I haven't done a lot of running lately. This is what I know about it. Is that you run, I encourage you, you can try this today. When you go home, get your sweatsuit on if you still have one that fits and all that. Go out and start running. And run as far as you can. Could be a block, could be 2 blocks, whatever. You know, farther than to the refrigerator, however that far is. Do that and then you're going to hit something. You're going to hit a wall. It's where you think, I need to stop right now. I need to stop. I know I'm going to die. Right? You know, I've tried jogging a couple times, and it's mostly jiggling. It's not jogging no more. But, you know, you run, and you hit that spot where you just, I can't do it no more. But from what I hear, there's second wind out there. If you keep going, you'll get your second wind. And that's when you break through that barrier and you get out into an area where all of a sudden, wham, all of a sudden you got new power. You got new strength. That's where you get grace. See, that's a good illustration of grace. It's when we get to our wall where we don't think we can, and then God gives us that second wind. And that's when we can press on and we can accomplish a lot of things for him, things that we need to do. What grieves me is that we don't want to try sometimes. And what I found out is that grace is amazing. And as you look at your life and you look at what God has done through you, you're going to be amazed about all the great and mighty things. Amen. Let's pray.